Matthew chapter 7. This is a very familiar scripture. We're actually going from here eventually back to Philippians, where we were last week. I'm going to go the long way around, as I've told you often. We're going to go to New York through California. Because that'll help us understand it will ground us. Now, verse 7 says, ask and it shall be given you. It doesn't say it might be, it could be, I hope it'll be, give it a shot, it might work out for you. And sometimes that's how we pray. We pray with our fingers crossed. But we pray with confidence that God answers prayer. And he said, ask and it shall be given you. Knock, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asks receives. Now, have you ever asked for something you didn't get? I'm going to give you a hint today. And he that seeks find, and him that knocketh it shall be open. Now this word ask is very important. In the original Greek language, it's for an inferior to ask of a superior. It's not two people on the same plane. It's not like if I'm asking my sister something, she's asking me something, we're on the same plane. It's like a subject ask of a king. It's like the Sadducees and Pharisees asking of Herod so they could crucify the Lord. They didn't have that kind of authority. It's like an employee asking of an employer. It's someone on a lesser level asking of someone on a higher level. Now, it's very clear from this who's asking who. And when you come down to verse 9, what man is there of you when his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? If he asks fish, will he give him a serpent? It's obviously a child asking of a father. You can see the relationship of inferior and superior. The child asking to his father, and you see the father is generous. The father gives to him. Then he says, verse 11, if you then being evil, which means you're human, you're natural, you're going to make mistakes, know how to give good gifts unto your children. See, fathers, you know, if you don't do well by your children, the government of the United States is offended. You knew that, right? If you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more, not less, more, shall your father, do you see that while you are your father? He's talking about your heavenly Father, your Father in heaven. How much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to those that ask him? So we see when God responds, he responds with good things. Now, a lot of the church world, I've been in church since I was in church nurseries, and a lot of the church world has given God a bad reputation. And sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says maybe, as if he's moody. You know, he's just... You should have come yesterday when he was in a better mood, when there was a bigger supply in heaven or something. No, he said, how much more shall he give good things to those that ask? And the key is in asking. And when we ask, we get good things. We are children of the living God. We're children by faith in Jesus Christ. We've come into the kingdom of God. And now look at James 4, Hebrews James. This gives us a clue about why sometimes prayers aren't answered. Doesn't have anything to do with God. It has to do with you. It has to do with me. Now it says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members. Lust is a strong desire for that which is forbidden. It's a strong desire for that which is offline. We were invited to a dinner, I guess it was, and they had this dessert, and the hostess, husband loved this dessert, and he kept saying, flesh likes, flesh likes, flesh really likes. I think that's a hint, you know, for another piece. He didn't get another piece. I'm sure he did after we left. Fightings and wars are not the way to get things done. Lust is not the way you're going to get anything done. It said, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war and you have not because you ask not. Instead of asking God for the provision that we need, instead of asking him for what's provided in his word, and asking him what we sense in our spirit, by the spirit, we're going to duke it out, we're going to fight, we're going to have our way, we're going to get what we want. And what he's saying is that isn't going to work for you. It isn't going to work. One translation says, you ask with a wrong motive. You ask for sensual pleasure. And one translation said, God isn't going to give you anything. This is the Cumbie Remembrance version. You know that version? Said, God isn't going to give you anything that would do damage or harm. So we've got to step up to God loving God with all our heart, having sensed in the spirit what we need, God, our voice is going to hear it. And he said, ask and it shall be given you, ask and you shall receive. He's talking about asking of the Father. We who are his children, asking of the Father who is on the throne. You know, Jesus was called the only begotten Son, then he was called the first begotten Son, and then he was called the first begotten of many brethren. And so down the line, we are the many brethren. Has been for centuries since Jesus' death and resurrection. And look at Romans 8. It says here, you can turn there, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it on your lust. You ask amiss, you ask with wrong motives, they say. And that won't get answered. What did I tell you, Romans 8?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Romans 8 tells us that we're children of God, and that's in verse 15. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby you have a father. Now, I'm not a TV watcher, you know that, but every now and then I just want to waste my time on something I don't have to understand and something I don't have to remember. Does that ever happen to you? And so there's a couple programs that I would clear for. One of them's gone off the air that I would clear for. My vision, not yours. I'm not in charge of your vision, but you better be sure that you are. Okay, that's a hint. And this girl, her father was shot. She heard the bullet. She heard the sound, and she ran that way, and she'd been down the block somewhere, and she comes hollering. See, when I pick a program, there's certain criteria that I will not allow before my eyes, ever. And had it come on that program, I'd have turned it off instantly. You cannot do that to your spirit, to your heart, to your inward man. But she came down and she was Israeli and she was hollering, Abba, Abba, Abba. And that's when my heart grabbed that and I really knew and understood what she was saying, Father, Father, Father. And of course, as TV programs go, he was dead already. You know how that goes. It says the Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we are. See, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who lives in the human spirit. The day you got born again, you became a new creature. You're new in spirit. You have a physical body. You have a soul which connects the physical body and Paul called it the inward man and the outward man. And the soul connects the two. The soul's the mind, will, and emotion. And the Holy Ghost comes to recreate you and he lives in your spirit and he's there to guide you. And one way he guides you is when you have a request of the Father so that you're making the right request. You know, so you're not asking for some immoral, illegal, and really dumb. Have you ever done that? Immoral, he's not going to answer that. So when he said, ask and you shall receive, he's ruling out illegal, immoral, and really dumb. He said, I'm not coming for those. I'm not asking for those. I'm not answering those. Well, then we give God a bad reputation, and his shoulders are big enough to carry that, but then we think, well, God doesn't love me, or he didn't understand my request, or I love it when somebody asks a prayer request that's illegal, immoral, and really dumb. And if you don't think over 40 years, I've taught almost 47 years, that I haven't received a few of those really dumb. And I said, you do know that's not scriptural. And he folded his arms and he said, but that's the way I want it. I said, well, I can't help you. I can't pray with you, and God isn't going to answer. I'll tell you from the start, God will not give you that. It's against the scripture. See, but the Holy Ghost on the inside knows that God wants good things for me. He knows what good things he wants for me, and he's going to direct me towards those good things so that when I ask and I can stand until that good thing appears. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is expectation in the American vocabulary, we say, I hope so, mean my fingers crossed, and I don't feel it happen or not, but maybe so. And they'll say, is Mabel coming to the party? And you say, oh, I hope so. But that is not what scriptural hope is. Hope is confident expectation. It means it is going to happen. When you hope, you expect it. It is going to happen. Now, it may not happen today, and hope has to be turned into faith. Faith is the substance. Now, listen to it this way. Faith is giving substance. Faith is materializing my hope. I'm holding fast to my desire. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive and you shall have. That's Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire, that's your hope, your expectation. And you're holding fast to that hope, that expectation. You're believing because you've asked for it. When you ask, if you ask, you receive. But you receive in the spirit, and it's going to materialize in the flesh. And we're not waiting till it materializes to say we have it. The minute God says yes, the minute we stand on the word, we have it. Faith is giving substance. And it says it's the evidence of things. It's Hebrews 11, when the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. So often we wait till we see it to say we have it. Do you know? I don't want to shock you or not, but any sinner can do that. When you see it, you know, you're saved, not saved. Nice, not nice. If you see it, you know you've got it. But when I see it with the eyes of the Spirit, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when I ask, I'm led by the Spirit. I know by the Spirit what I need to ask for. And I'm standing because it comes from the Spirit for that to materialize. I'm standing in faith, believing. I know I have received because I asked for it, and it's in the Word. And God says, I watch over my Word to perform it, Jeremiah 1:12. Now in Romans 8, look at verse 12. Is that verse 12? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. You know, the flesh, it just likes things, if you notice that. And what this verse says, you don't owe your flesh a thing. You know my theory, based upon actual fact, the flesh is for red lights and stop signs. It doesn't go much farther than that. If you feel sick, the flesh notifies you that you need to bank up on the scriptures. You need to go back to the scripture. You need to get somebody to pray for you, or you need to contact your doctor. The flesh gives you. The flesh cannot heal you, but it can notify you that you need help. And so that's what this means. If we live after the flesh, you shall die. Well, now what does that mean? Because we're all going to actually die. And the thing that helps me so much, that would help you if you would grasp it, you are going to die, but not today. And not this year, and not this decade. And some of us, not for 20 or 30 years. That won't include me. That'd make me 110, I think. But if you just get over it, you are going to die. And lay that aside. And then walk with God every day of your life, because He'll give you a desire and He'll grant that desire. He said He will give you good things, and healing is a good thing. Is it not? It's a wonderful thing. Now He says, so we can't let our flesh. Have you ever had some shoes that kept speaking to your flesh? Do you remember wearing those? They kept saying, I have very narrow feet. My whole family has very narrow feet, and it's very difficult to find shoes. And they're either too big or too tight. And they keep notifying me. And that's what the Spirit does. Except He's always accurate. He's always speaking truth. He always is letting you know what you need, so that you can ask for what you need. And when you ask for what you need, it says, my God shall supply all your need. He doesn't say half of your need. He doesn't say, you know, maybe He'll help you. And you need more than money. Everybody uses that as a money verse, and it is a money verse, but it incorporates anything and everything you need. My God shall supply all you need. If you need it, you ask for it, you hold fast to it. See, there will be the day that you see it. But until the day you see it, it is becoming substance, is becoming into evidence that you can see. But you're walking by faith. Whether you see it or not, you know you have it, because God said, I'll give you that. Whatever you ask, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Now, if you come down, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's how I find out what to ask for. Is the Spirit leads me. And I think mainly He leads you in when you ask for something illegal, immoral, and really dumb. He'll go, you know, He sounds like your mother. Did you know that? He goes, That's what my mother used to do. I'm the oldest of three. I'm quite a bit older. And I learned real quickly I don't think my sister and brother learned as quickly, but I learned real quickly. was good enough for me. And when the Spirit's on the inside, and He leads you in keeping with the Word, and He said, I'll grant your desire. Now look at John 15:7. We use this verse a lot, so you know it's, you abide in me and my Word abides in you. Jesus said, if you abide in me, this is going to help us know what to ask for, where to stand. Jesus said, if you abide in me, when you abide, well, Wayne and I abide together. We live in the same house, 58 years now. We abide together. And I know him, and he knows me. And as you begin to read the word and begin to pray in the Spirit and be faithful in church and walk in love as the Spirit commands, you're going to come to know him better and better. And when you know him better, you're going to be able to ask and stand on solid ground. You're not going to ask and waver because you know this is right. Now, if you abide in me, my word abides in you. That goes with Psalm 1, which says, meditate in the day and night. You can't do that 24 hours a day, but you're in constant mode of looking at God, looking at his word, and meditating in his word. Now, if you would, you have a computer, you have a phone, you have a printer. Tape your favorite scripture, make you a copy, and tape it to your refrigerator. I just changed my verse on the refrigerator today. It did say something about the Lord would strengthen you, and I liked that one. He said, he will maintain your strength till your old age. That's in Deuteronomy. I love that. I put it on my refrigerator. I've been reading it every time I open the refrigerator, and we do a lot of opening the refrigerator at our house. You can tell that. Every time we open the refrigerator, I said, God will maintain my strength. He will maintain my strength through my old age. Hallelujah! God will maintain my strength. If your confession is not marked by praise, you didn't say it long enough. That's just the truth. Now, what happened to Paul and Silas when they were in prison? They sang. What brought their release? The song they sang. They said the prisoners heard them, so they weren't being quiet. Now, if you want some interesting study, you go and look up the types of prison in those days. It's actually very frightening. It's not a jail cell with a lock on it and a nice meal coming your way and time in the yard to exercise. This is not what Paul was doing. And as they began to sing, you see, I've been to sing, you know why? Because God promised to strengthen me through my old age. He promised. He said he would. I can ask for that. I don't have to ask him, can I ask for that? He's already promised. You see that? Don't you wish you knew what today's scripture was? Well, I can't quote it to you because I can't quite remember it yet. But I will get it. Now look at John 15 again. If you abide me in my words, abide. You should ask what you will and it shall be. What?
It shall be.
It might be?
No.
It could be?
No.
So many people have Americanized hope until when they pray, they just got their fingers crossed and hope God. No, he said it shall be done. He didn't say you'd see it today. He said it's on the order blank today. It's coming. I promise. Now, we used to order clothes all the time from a company up north because Wayne was an odd size. I mean, don't be a 32, 34, 36, 38. Be something weird in the middle. So I would call and we had a number and I don't remember what it was and I'd say, this is customer 107, and she'd say, because computers are very wise, she'd say, oh, hey, Miss Cumby, how are you doing? And then she'd say, you still have the same credit card number? I said, yes, ma'am. And I told her what I wanted, and she said, let me check. And she said, those are in stock. They will go out in the morning. See, I had her promise. I had her word. Now, if you think God's out of stock, you're confused. He's not out of stock. He has healing. Well, 2 or 3 days, you know what I did? I went right up to the post office, see if it come yet, because it comes from New York or somewhere in New York. And I'd go right up there and see if it was coming. And if it wasn't there, I know it'll be here tomorrow. There wasn't any doubt in my mind, because she said to me, do you have the same credit card number? And I said, yes. And she said, that is in stock. We will mail that in the morning. Two things I know. I will get a bill. And it will be here within a week, usually within the week. See, when God makes a promise, it's coming. And all I have to do is hold fast. Ask and you shall receive. That's absolutely amazing. Now look at, what are the children, Ephesians 1. What are the children of God going to receive? Ooh, got so many good scriptures. Verse 3, chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Now, if we just stop there, that's good enough. Blessed be God who blesses. We're blessing Him because He blesses. He blesses me, I bless Him. I say, oh, thank you, Father, thank you, Father, thank you, Father. Now, when I wake up in the night, which is frequent, I usually quote 23rd Psalm, and I might quote the Lord's Prayer, and I might go over the outline I've been working on for Wednesday or for some other lesson. I might go over the scripture I've been meditating in. I might plug in my MP3, which has got numerous musical sites and numerous scripture sites. People quote the scripture to me. I don't just lay there and waste my time. And I go over that and over that and over that. I'm taking that time to meditate. Now, the scripture says God gives His beloved sleep, and I'm not sleeping. You didn't note that, right? But He said He'd give His beloved sleep. I said, Lord, you've promised this to me, and I thank you. I thank you. I said, oh, hallelujah. I said, you don't make noise in the night. Wayne Cumby is a sound sleeper. You are not going to bother him unless you roll over funny and hit him with your arm or something. Now look, we bless Him because He's blessed us, and what blesses us is He's given us an abundance of promises, and every single one that you claim is going to come true for you. Every single one is going to happen. It is going to happen. You might as well have a happy spell because it is going to happen. Has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, how many blessings do you think are available in heavenly places? Just 100, 1,000, 10,000, 1,000,000? Spiritual blessings. Now, a lady told me, bless her pointed head, that some blessings weren't spiritual. And she was sure healing was a physical blessing and not a spiritual blessing, and so God is not going to heal you because it's not a spiritual blessing. It's a physical blessing. She couldn't have been more confused. Anything God sends is a spiritual blessing. Anything He sends. Now, you may have heard the people have had visions of the, what did you call it? God's storage room. Thank you. And in that storage room is every kind of body part you could imagine. Well, this fellow had taught that. His friends had said that. A couple of his people had seen that. They've seen the room. They have literally stood in the room and seen all the body parts there. And but what one said that had not been said before, he said they were all living. The hearts were all beating. The pancreas were all working. The legs were all full of life. See, God's got it. You didn't ask for it, did you? God's got it. And I said, I'm going to, Lord, I don't care if it's new or used, okay? You know, at my age, it doesn't matter if it's used. My dear cousin's gone to be with the Lord. He lived about 17 years. He had cardiomyopathy, which is hardening of the heart muscle. How many would realize that's fatal when your heart muscle hardens and quits beating? Well, he was on a list for a new heart, but it didn't come to pass. He's a very, very tiny man, and hearts have to be sized. They have to be the right size for the body. They can't just put any heart in there. It has to be the right blood type and the right size. Well, his pastor's wife undertook a week of fasting and praying because she could see that he isn't going to make it. See, when you pray, when you ask, you not only ask for yourself, but you ask for other people. You can help them by asking. And she fasted and prayed a week, and there was a tiny little man that got shot in a bar. And we're sorry about that, but we did appreciate him giving us his heart. And they called me late one night, almost midnight, and said, the heart is here. And we were all over at Tampa General, and we sat with the family. And he wore that heart 17 years. Went back to playing golf and tennis. He was athletic. You know what happened to why that came in? You're getting my lesson today, aren't you? Somebody asked. Somebody ask. That was it. Somebody ask. That's why it came in. It was a blessing. And when God sends anything, it's a spiritual blessing. And he said, spiritual blessings in heavenly places, anything God's got will come to you when you ask. We say, I didn't ask. I bet your grandma did. Or your neighbor next door. I bet somebody did. Now, look at 1 John 5, which is my favorite. I just want you to see what you can. You're a child of God, and the children of God are blessed of God. God is their Father, and he sends every blessing in heavenly places. Your Father in heaven will send to you what you need. The Spirit of God will notify you what you need. Now, if you ask for something you don't hear from the Spirit, chances are he didn't care. Have it. Believe for it. He's not against it. If he's against it, he's going to speak up real loud. He's going to go, ah! Like your mother. Now, 1 John 5, it's a great verse to identify. And then I don't know if that's where it is or not. Hallelujah. Look at the one on sonship. Chapter 3, verse 1. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called? We are sons of God. And as sons of God, we are heirs of spiritual blessing. It's actually 3 John comes to me. You know, I started teaching. I did not know I was a teacher. I wasn't a teacher. I've just got married, and I wasn't a teacher. And God began to speak to me. And this is how he said. He said, go ye therefore and teach. Just like that. And I thought, wow. And he repeated several times because he could tell I'm not getting it. So the first time I taught, they asked me to teach, and the Holy Ghost came. I didn't know the Holy Ghost from anybody else. We were barely acquainted with him in our church, like very barely. And he came, and my father was a church musician. And when I taught, I would sing a while, and I'd teach, and I'd sing, and I'd teach, and I'd sing. And they said, you've been doing this for years and years. That was my first time. So my brother's a pastor. My niece called, and she said, do you know what Daddy did today? She was disgusted. I said, no, what did he do? She said, he would teach a while, then he would sing. And I said, oh, really? God is going to enable you to stand, and having done all to stand. He doesn't say having done all to sit. Having done all to stand, he's going to enable you to ask for what you need. He's going to stand with you. You're going to meditate in the word day and night, and you're going to be filled with rejoicing. Yes. Amen. Now, they asked me to do a 5-minute, some kind of a going away party, and would I come and do 5-minute whatever. 5 minutes, I thought, oh my gosh, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, what in the world? And as I was praying, never done this before or since. I thought I'd do it again sometime, but it just never happens. And I got up and I organized the music, all the blood songs, all the prayer songs, all the cross songs. I organized them all, and I just got up in 5 minutes and quoted all the words. See, whatever inspires you, whatever causes you to rise and hold steady. Well, this lady right over here in the back and left, she was sobbing because there's an anointing on most of that music. And she was just sobbing. And when I finished, she was the one moving. I quoted, wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Lord who loved me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I know y'all don't know hymns, right? Feel real sorry for you because there's an anointing on them. There's just a strong anointing on them. And I like them, and nobody likes them but me, but it doesn't bother me. I'm still singing them. I'm singing them. Wayne and I sing. We have them in our home along with the new music. Now look, beloved, that's 3 John. I wish above all. Do you see above all things? See, we're going to ask and receive. He said, if you ask and you meditate so you can hold fast, so you hear from the Spirit and you can hold fast because the Word of God is Spirit and the Holy Spirit lives in the human spirit. And when you ask and go down that line, you're anchored. And if it comes quickly, that works for me. Does it work for you? But I'm not giving up turning loose because it didn't come today. So that's what people do. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. The soul is the mind, will, and emotions. That's that meditating day and night. That's anchoring yourself so that you know God and you know His Word and you know He said, 1 Kings 8:56, He said, not one word that He promised has ever failed. Not one word. I don't know if you get that. When you tell your child, we will get new tennis shoes tomorrow, and tomorrow something happens and you're not up to it, and so you say, we'll get new tennis shoes Monday, and you failed. You failed, but only by, you just changed. Tomorrow, we will get new tennis shoes tomorrow, to we will get new tennis shoes Monday. You only changed one word, but you did fail. Now, here's what you do if you're wise. You say, we will get new tennis shoes as soon as possible. And give yourself room. See what you're doing the other ways. You're teaching your child not to keep His word, that your word is not significant. You get that, don't you? But see, God said every single word I've ever spoken comes to pass. But somebody has to claim it. Somebody has to stand for it. Somebody has to ask for it. Ask and you might receive. You could receive. I hope you receive. Give it a shot. It might work out for you. No, you shall receive. It shall be given you when you ask. That was His promise. And what? He said, everything that causes you to prosper, and that's not just money. Prosperity means a lot more than money. It means to be a successful journey through life, if you look up the definition in the Greek. To have a successful journey. Have a successful journey through life to prosper. Well, some things would interfere with your success, and if you don't watch it, your good humor. Now, you may remember that in the olden, no, you wouldn't, y'all aren't old enough to remember, but I remember if you had a flat tire, you had to wait until some kind gentleman came along and changed it for you. You remember that? Anybody remember that? Mm-hmm. And you didn't have a phone because we didn't have phones. You couldn't call Daddy and say Mama's had a flat tire because we had a flat tire between Bartow and whatever city's next. And she pulled into the median with her flat tire and we just sat there. What are we waiting on? We're waiting on some kind man to say, ma'am, do you need help? Can I change your tire for you? So you need to appreciate the new things that history has given us. But you need to know how to stand, and having done all to stand, see, we knew how to stand. We knew how to sit. We knew how to wait. And that's where people fail. They don't know how to wait anymore. They don't know how to sit anymore, how to stand anymore. Now, we're going to get everything, and it says, it doesn't say healing here. Do you notice it says health? Is that amazing? Health. Which is better, healing or health? I like health. Now, I appreciate healing. I like healing. Look at James 1. James was the brother of our Lord, or half-brother, you might say. Verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift, every perfect gift. Now, that includes healing. See, I've been in the hospital where the little man told me he had heart trouble. He was young. That was decades ago. He told me that God had caused him to have this heart trouble so that he could reach the people in the hospital with his testimony. I want to say, sir, you don't have a testimony yet. You ain't got no testimony. You're accepting heart trouble as if it was sent by God, and it wasn't. God does not send disease. He sends what He sends is good and perfect. You like that? I do. I like perfect. Now, Wayne refinished furniture for decades after he retired, because he retired on city retirement, which doesn't qualify you for Social Security insurance, which we needed. And so he worked and did 10, 15, 20 years. I don't know how long. He's been retired 22 years on furniture. And you've never seen anybody that can perfect furniture like this man can. If you go to the website, you can see the rocking chair that came into the office in about, what, 25 pieces?
30 maybe.
And left in, because He knew how to perfect it. You see, Almighty God knows how to perfect your body. He knows how to perfect your life. All He wants you to is to listen to Him, to know that this is what he wants for health and healing. That's exactly what he wants you. That's the good thing he wants for you. Why? Because you're a child. It said, we read it in the beginning, 7:11, Matthew 7:11, how he would give good things to those that ask. How your Father will give you good things. Well, is that what the Word said?
Yes.
It is what it said, isn't it? Now look at Ephesians 2. We know we're expecting good things. We're expecting good things, good things, good things, good things. Ephesians 2, Pastor used it Sunday, I'm going to use it again, talks about the three enemies. Okay, you've got the will of God, you've got the Word of God, you've got that scripture on your refrigerator, and it says, I will strengthen you to fulfill your old age. Deuteronomy. You got to practice that. You got to believe that. You got to quote that. And it won't work just because you quoted it. It only works after you sing it, you shout it. That's when it begins to work. See, what we do, we stop a little short. Now, here's the three enemies in chapter 2 or 3. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, the flesh says, I like that. That's what I want. I like that. And the world says, this is what we like. Come and join us. We all like this. This is how fads get started. I've seen some fads over, you know, we won't talk about modern fads in case you're still into that. But you remember bell bottoms?
Yes.
And they were so long and you walked all over them?
Yeah.
And when you wore your jeans so low that your underwear showed?
No.
That was one of my least favorite. You remember that?
No.
See, and what happens? The flesh has likes and dislikes. It has fads, and it's going to lead you astray. It's going to lead you away from the seed that God planted on the inside. It's going to cause you to deviate. And I've got to, having done all to what? Sit?
Stand.
Having done all to?
Stand.
To stand. Well, here's the first clue. Did you do all yet? Have you done it all? You know, you set your table. I don't know about you. We set our table. I was home economics, 7th grade. You set the table. Fork on the left and knife and spoon on the right. You set it. We always set our table. I've been made fun of, but I don't care. I'm setting my table. And I set it. And you sit down and you get ready to eat, and guess what's not there? The iced tea. Or... the relish tray, that's one of my favorite things. If you run out of things to do, you get a big relish tray and you put in the pickles and the olives and the tomatoes and the cucumbers and you call it a salad because that's my idea of a salad. You can mix yours up. You can do what you want to. See, we're not identical, but we have the same Father and we have the same leading of the Spirit. And when we hold fast to what the Spirit has said, when we abide in Him and His Word abides in us, and I don't deviate and I don't give up and I don't quit saying thank you. I say thank you at noon. You know, church music, when it went, y'all weren't there when they began to sing the first choruses. So all we had was the hymnal. Well, they were kind of hokey, the first choruses. Love Him, love Him, love Him in the morning, love Him in the evening, love Him, love Him, love Him when the sun went down. They were all that of quality. And then there was the one, have patience, don't be in such a hurry. Impatience, impatience only leads to worry. Have patience, because God is patient too. Why, look at all the times He has had to wait on you. They were all hokey. But they did the best they could, and they've improved over the centuries, over the decades, and we're so glad for that. But we have to hold fast. See, that music is in me. I sang it when the time I was young. And Wayne and I used to sing together, which you will never hear that, so don't even ask. We used to sing together. We did what we knew to do. We sang what we knew to sing. We quoted what we knew to quote. We believed what they told us to believe until we got in the scripture and read what it actually said. Sometimes they were right, sometimes they weren't right. But we couldn't give up, we couldn't quit. And the little fellow that came to me said, you tell God, you tell Him I have to have this. That's what he said to me. I thought, well, I think you just said it. I don't have to say it. I think you just said it. He said, you tell God I have to have this. Now, the flesh is an enemy. It will lead you astray. That was my point. And then you have the world. The world says, come join us. We're all doing this. Everybody's wearing this. Except me. And maybe you. I don't know about you, but. And then there's the devil. And the devil says, do it my way. You're going to love my way. Come my way. And the flesh says, no, let's do it my way. And the world says, no, join us. Let's do it our way. And all of those will lead you astray from the word that you planted, from the word you meditated in day and night, the word that caused you to ask for something, that the spirit that led you, and you asked for that. And now you're going to hold fast to that word while it's coming to pass. Faith says it is, and faith causes it to come. Said it is. Well, have you ever hunted something you lost? It's using my phone. It's just amazing that I can't keep up with my phone. I probably confessed that into a terrible situation, but I'm all the time looking for the phone, and I can't find the phone. Well, what we're doing when we ask for something, we want it now, we're looking for it right this minute. But the hope, the expectation you had that you asked for in faith, believing that you had the promise of God, and you began to sing praises, sing hallelujah to the King. Sing hallelujah. You begin to sing praises like Paul and Silas did in prison. And you just camped out. Walking by faith is camping out by a fireplace that is going to remain burning as long as you sit there and stir it. Did you get that? So we're just going to stir and stir and stir and stir and thank God and praise Him. Say hallelujah. Now look at Philippians 4. That's your introduction. This is what I wanted to tell you. Ephesians, God's electric power company. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. Philippians. It says, be careful for nothing, which full of care or worry. That's really the word for worry. And the translations say, don't worry about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication prayer and supplication with what? Supplication means you have a specific request. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. See, we're inclined to be thankful when we see it. No, I'm thankful because God said it. And I'm thankful He's coming with it. And I'm glad that it's mine. He promised it. And I'm glad He keeps all His promise. And I'm saying, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then it says, but it says, don't worry. Now, why would I not worry? I mean, you ask. You ask according to the word. You meditate in the word. You were full of thanksgiving. And yet most people are inclined to worry. Fret. One translation said, why are you not nervous? I love that. Has anything ever made you nervous that you asked for and then you didn't get it right away and you need it right away? I need it right now. It didn't come right now? No? Yes? He said, don't worry about that. Don't worry. God is not forgetful. He hasn't forgotten your request. He is coming just exactly like He said He would. It is yours today, it is yours now, and you keep shouting hallelujah, 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 and one day you go down to the post office and what you ordered will be there. Yes. And unlike, sometimes they make a mistake and they send me what I didn't order, but God makes no mistakes, never makes any mistakes. And what you ordered that He promised, the spiritual blessing, those things that cause you to prosper and walk in health. And the 103rd Psalm says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that within me bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His what?
Benefits.
God has benefits. He leads you to a benefit. You claim a benefit. And that benefit comes because you have faith that God said yes. And if God says yes, you've got it. So I haven't seen it. Just get a grip. You don't have to wait till you see it to believe it. You believe it and then you'll see it. I believe it because God said it. It's in the Word. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Now, I had a sciatic nerve problem. I just don't wish that on anybody. Terrible, terrible pain. Get out your sheet. I'll show you what we're going to do. And I waited and I waited and I waited and I laid on ice. And in the middle of the night, Wayne would get up and change the ice, have to have fresh ice. You may not know, but your ice pack won't go from 11 to 7 in the morning. So you have to change the ice. And we just kept believing and kept standing and kept thanking. I came to church. I left before the first song. I said to the usher, would you get Wayne, tell him I have to go home. I don't know why I even tried to come. Please take time to recover. Will you do that for me? Take time to recover. Okay. These are the verses that says God's going to do it. These are your refrigerator verses. God's going to do it. And I put the part I wanted you to see in all caps. Suzanne did this. So you know me, I don't do any computer work. We're going to read these together. I want you to note the all caps. I want you to know how redundant. God said this over and over again. You know why he had to say it over and over again? You do know, so I don't have to tell you. Okay. Matthew 7:7. Are you ready? Read loud so I can hear you. Ask and it shall be given you. Ask and it shall be given you. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. And it shall be done. And it shall be done. John 16. In that day you shall ask me nothing. That's Jesus. He wants you now to ask the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. He will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive. That what? What? You know, I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Do you know that one?
Yep. Yes.
See, some of you are almost as old as I am. 1 John 5. This is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now go back to the asterisks only. That's the large print. That's what I meant to say. Ask, and it shall be given you. And it shall be done unto you. He will give it you. And you shall receive. We know that we have. Let's do that again. It shall be given you. It shall be done unto you. He will give it you. You shall receive. We know that we have. Now that's five times in four verses. How many times do we need to hear that before we catch on?
Yes.